Welcome to the Pain to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed, and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships, and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator, and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery, and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 59 of the From Pain to Power podcast. You are very welcome, and welcome to any new listeners as well of the podcast and our loyal fans. It's really good to have you here. And today I am going to be talking about the topic of should I go on the pill for period problems? And before I get into that, I just want to give you a little update. So it is now the very end of April 2023. I've finally settled into my new house with Richard, and thank you to everyone who has been asking me. I know some of you have been working with me in one-to-one or in the professional training, and as I'm sure a lot of you know, it is a transition moving house. But yeah, it's been fabulous now that we've landed. It was a really big transition that kind of started in January this year, January to February, and it's really great that we are somewhat settled. We're living in a much quieter place to where I was living before, in a place called Wicklow Town. And yeah, it's just really nice. We're about a 10-minute walk from the town, and there's a lot of nature around. And the reason I moved was because I was having noise nuisance issues in my home in Dublin. And so, yeah, I'm just really glad that I embarked on that journey and made that decision. There's a lot of cafes and bakeries in the town, so we have been eating a lot of pastries. And yeah, it's just been fun to give ourselves that permission to just enjoy and try out the different places that you have to go to, you know, when you move to a new place, so that when your friends and family come, you know where to go. So that's been my little update. And I've officially finished the 2022 to 2023 iteration of the menstrual cycle coaching and facilitation professional training. And that's been really fabulous, a fabulous six, seven, 8 months with the group this year. And they've all graduated, and we just had one of our last calls, one of the process groups, yesterday evening. And yeah, it's just been an incredible journey. So for those of you who were in that group with me, congrats and thank you for being part of such a wonderful group. And yeah, if anyone is interested in joining us in that journey this year, we're starting this October. I have the link in the show notes as well, so you can go and read about that. If you're interested in learning about menstrual cycle coaching and facilitation, whether it's because you want to become a coach or whether you want to integrate it into your own career, your own practice, or if you're just interested in this type of work, you'd be more than welcome. So we're going to get into this topic. The reason why I have picked this topic is because, well, I think it's a great question. Should I go on the pill or really any hormonal contraception for any kind of period problems? And it was a loyal follower on my Instagram who messaged me, and we'd been messaging a little bit back in the day, and she's been a big, you know, she's really supported this work I'm doing kind of early on. And so we had a good chat about it, and she wanted to reach out for some kind of personal guidance. And so we just had a little chat about it. And so I thought I would do a podcast episode on this, because I do get asked this a lot. And I think it's an important topic to address, is this question of, you know, should I go on the pill or should I go on hormonal contraception for your menstrual difficulty, menstrual suffering? And really, this is for anyone who has or might have endometriosis, who struggles with PMS, who has, you know, a lot of pain with her period, PMDD, premenstrual dysphoric disorder, or fibroids. So really any kind of suffering in relation to your menstrual cycle, whether that's physical suffering or psychological, emotional suffering, and it's impacting your quality of life. And so I'm trying to organize my thoughts of this topic, because I have a lot of thoughts. And really what I want to do is really discuss it, lay out the cards for you, so that you can start to think a little bit more clearly in terms of how you can go about making such a decision for yourself. And the thing about it is that a lot of people who listen to this podcast and who are in this world, you know, you already have been to the doctor. I'm not going to tell you to go to the doctor, because you probably already have been to the doctor. You probably already have been to a gynecologist, or maybe you're thinking about that. And a lot of you as well have already had quite negative experiences in the medical system. So, like, generally speaking, a lot of women have, especially when it comes to reproductive health, women's health. I don't need to tell you that a lot of us have, you know, experiences of feeling dismissed or not listened to or not taken seriously, or, you know, our experiences denied or diminished or whatever. And so that can have a really profound impact on your confidence in the medical system, your trust in the medical system, your confidence in yourself to voice your needs, to speak up. And that can really, really impact when our confidence in the medical system and when our trust in the medical system is impacted, and when our confidence in ourselves in regards to this issue is impacted. Then that can really have then a knock-on effect on the kinds of options that are available to us, our decision-making ability, our thoughts around all this stuff, our expectations, our assumptions, and all these things. And so really, I really want to approach this topic from a trauma-informed lens, meaning that, you know, for those people who have been impacted psychologically by an experience in the medical system, you know, that can result in a nervous system traumatic effect. I've spoken to a lot of women who have had traumatic birth experiences, and even that will obviously have an impact on your own relationship with the medical system. So that could be a really, really good place to start, is to think about your history with the medical system, your relationship with the medical system, what experiences you had, and what impact that those experiences that you did have left on you now in relation to the medical system. And so when the medical system doesn't meet the needs that we have, or has denied our needs, or has impacted us in some way, or hasn't taken responsibility, which, you know, it hasn't in a lot of situations, then what happens is, from a kind of a systemic cultural level lens, women and people with menstrual cycles, we then flock towards other places to get help. So we go towards the natural health holistic world, which is a great place to get information and a great place to get support. But the issue is that then we end up in that space, the holistic alternative health world, where there's also flaws in that world, and as there are flaws in every system. And so in the natural health world, there can be a lot of trying a lot of different things, you know, this idea of like throwing spaghetti at the wall, seeing what sticks. There can be a lot of false promises from different people in the holistic health world. Then there's this sort of thing about the responsibility all being on you. So because the conventional medical system hasn't, from a systemic point of view, taken enough responsibility for women's health, then we as women and people with cycles, we internalize all that responsibility on ourselves. And then when we start to educate ourselves in the holistic health world, we put then all this pressure on ourselves to fix ourselves, to heal ourselves. And there's a kind of implied message, or there can be, I'm not saying this is always true, but there can be this implied message in the holistic health world that we have to fix, you know, our periods completely, you know, that it is possible. And very often it is. And a lot of people do, quote unquote, fix their period. I don't actually use that term. I'm taking it from language I've seen in the holistic health world. But we can feel this pressure to be completely symptom free when it comes to our menstrual cycle. And that is a lot of responsibility and a lot of pressure to take on as an individual. And even though there's fantastic information and really, really good resources, and a lot of it now is becoming more evidence-based in the holistic and natural health and diet world, it's still a lot, like I said, a lot of responsibility. And when we say, for example, if you don't see the results that are kind of implied or promised in this space, in the holistic space, then what can happen also is that we go into this internalized victim blaming of ourselves, thinking that we haven't done it correctly, or we haven't done the diet well enough, or, you know, we haven't done this, that, and the other, or we've eaten a certain food. And so it can actually turn into a little bit of a dysfunctional relationship with things like food, with wellness, with lifestyle. And then we can go into this hypervigilant place and self-blame place. And when I look at that from a nervous system level, that hypervigilance, that fight or flight response, even though it is in the context of holistic health, which is, you know, positive. But if we look at that from a dynamic relationship point of view, it's still a lot of stress on the body. And I just don't see that as, in my practice, I don't see that as a positive thing. So I'm going to talk about how we can move away from getting stuck in those stress responses and in those dynamics when it comes to this. And I'm going to talk about how we can get clearer in ourselves on how we can answer that question for ourselves. The title of this podcast, Should I Go on the Pill for Period Problems? So with that in mind, because I know I've said a lot there, I'd say the first step for you to do is to, like I said, reflect on your history and relationship with the medical system and how that has impacted you and informed how you now relate to it. Because at the end of the day, I do believe we need the medical system and we can't completely reject it. We just have to learn how to be in relationship with it and how to advocate for ourselves and speak up and get our needs met. And, you know, think of different options for ourselves. And then the second part of that is to think about, you know, if you did have a lot of trauma in the medical system and you have really gone over into the holistic health space, what is your relationship with that space? What stories are you telling yourself? What pressure are you putting on yourself? What expectations are you putting on yourself in that space in order to heal your body, fix your period, or whatever it is? And then the third part of that is then to reflect on what is, and this is a really, really important concept that I work with in all of my work. It's this well enoughness concept. So what is your well enoughness place? Because the reality is, and I've experienced this perfectly, there are no guarantees in any of this. And even if you do get a lot of positive impact from, you know, a support in the holistic space or a support in the medical world, at the end of the day, there's no guarantees in any of that. And it really is a cycle by cycle, one day at a time approach. And we have to stay present with our everyday experience and our everyday needs and ask ourselves, you know, what is well enough for me? So what's kind of an acceptable level of difficulty or symptoms that I can support myself with and that I might need accommodations for? Or when is it going into too much difficulty and suffering that I actually need, you know, more intervention from different systems and different places and different professionals, medical professionals or holistic professionals. And so that is a fluid moving thing, your well enoughness place, and you get to decide that for yourself. And, you know, that question then comes into play every day. So say if you are someone who has endometriosis or PMDD and, you know, your ability to show up socially or professionally is impacted by this, you get to have a relationship with your well enoughness. And maybe, you know, you'll never completely be free of symptoms, which is very common and very normal, and I'm in that camp. You still get to call in sick and or ask for accommodation to be met so that you can show up in your well enoughness place. Because again, in the holistic health world, there's a lot of pressure to always have your cup full and, you know, always be super energized, when the reality is that really is denying of our humanity and denying of our, you know, our abilities, our disabilities, our struggles, our experiences when it comes to our reproductive health and menstrual health. So I'm going to give you one example of a bit of misinformation that can cause difficulties in our relationship with ourselves. So, and I'm just taking this from my own personal experience, and then also I've seen clients talk about this. So in the holistic health diet nutrition world, when it comes to endometriosis, the sort of the narrative that is out there with regards to endometriosis is that endometriosis is a estrogen dominant condition. And while that is true, it is more of a, I think it's, what do they call it? The endometriosis specialists themselves, they refer to it more as an immune dysfunction, which I think is much more accurate, because it really, it's the immune system at play. But the reason why people talk about estrogen dominance when it comes to endometriosis is because it can, when we have endometriosis lesions, those lesions produce extra estrogen, and then we have more estrogen in the body as a result of that. The problem with that is that when we learn that, a lot of the a lot of the rhetoric and the narrative and the advice in the nutrition world is to therefore combat estrogen dominance in the body through personal responsibility options such as diet, lifestyle, reducing toxins, etc. And while all those things are really good and really important, it places all the responsibility that estrogen dominance is as a result of diet, lifestyle, toxins, etc. Now, I'm just going to give you an example from my own experience. So personally speaking, I've had those, it's called the Dutch test. So it's hormonal tests that are done by usually nutritionists and functional medical practitioners. And, you know, this is before I even had surgery, and my tests came back fine. I didn't have estrogen dominance in the tests, but I was still in this mindset of, you know, if I get my estrogen dominance down, then my period pain is going to be gone or my endometriosis lesions are going to shrink. But the reality is that, you know, the estrogen dominance that I was experiencing, if it was there, wasn't actually coming from diet and lifestyle. It was coming from the physical manifestation of endometriosis lesions in the tissue where it was in. And so we really want to be careful with that. It can be a really unhelpful piece of information. Now, on one hand, it can be really helpful because I do think a lot of people do benefit hugely from diet changes, lifestyle changes, you know, bringing down stress, bringing down environmental toxins. Those are all really positive things. I'm not denying those. But the problem is if we do that, it can become an obsession. And then when we don't see benefits or we don't see results, then it can happen that, and I've seen it in my clients, that we go into this self-blame, I'm not doing anything right, I need to do more, etc. And then we go into this hypervigilance, what I call internalized victim blaming. And it's just really, that is a really harmful place to be. And it can really, really just impact somebody's mental health, their relationship with themselves, their confidence in themselves, their trust in themselves, their agency. And I just don't think that that is positive for anyone. Okay, so with all that said, I'm now going to shift over into sort of how you can move forward and, you know, start to take back the control. And really, that is what this stuff is about. This is about you taking back control. And another really important value that I hold at the core of my practice, regardless of what people do, because this is at the core of a trauma-informed approach, is to really support people in their decision-making ability, to support people in knowing their options, and to support people in their agency. And when we support people in their agency, well, when I support people in their agency, I'm just going to speak for my own practice, I see huge results in people. And I can only really put that down to a nervous system kind of explanation. Okay, so what I mean by this is that because you've already journeyed a lot of stuff in the medical system and in the natural health world, and you're currently asking this question of, should I go on the pill for period problems? You probably feel stuck. You probably feel like you've tried a lot of things. So I would really, question your expectations, pressures you're putting on yourself, or personal responsibility you're taking on, and make a list of all the options, regardless of how you feel about them. So you probably don't want to go on the pill. Maybe you've had a lot of symptoms in the past, like a lot of people do. And maybe you don't want to go on the pill, and that's perfectly fine. But still, to put down all your options on a piece of paper. So, you know, I'm just going to think off the top of my head here with you. So the options could be, you could have different pills on your list. You could have the option of, you know, considering surgery or more regular ultrasounds. You could have the option of trying to work with a different doctor or gynecologist. You could have the option of trying the Mirena coil instead, because that's a different type of hormonal contraception. There's lots of other different types of hormonal contraception than the pill. So like the implant, you know, there's so many different options. So to really write down all your options and think about all of them and do some research on them in terms of what is required and how long they take and what are they for. You could also write down a list of options in terms of a timeline. So you can have plan A, plan B, plan C. So your plan A could be, I'm going to give myself a year and work on my nervous system, work on nutrition, work on stress, work on relationships, and then see where I go from there. You could try different painkillers even. You could get like a higher dose of painkiller from your GP. You could tell yourself, okay, I'm going to try nutrition and painkillers for a year or 6 months And then if that doesn't work, then I will consider surgery. And then, so that's your plan B. And then your plan C could be, and if surgery, if I don't get any help from surgery, then I'm going to try the Marina coil, for example. And that is actually the option I have for myself. So it really is thinking about all these options, regardless of any emotional attachment to any of them. And I would really, when you write your options down, I want you to separate your feelings. So if you have fear, worry, doubt, blame, you know, if you have any kind of resistance to these things, I would really maybe do a little bit of work separate. Sort of, you really want to think logically and rationally with these options. And then, you know, just notice what feelings and thoughts you have, because that's also work for you to think about. I do think we absorb a lot of messages from the medical system and the health, the natural health world. And so that can also impact how we feel and how we think and all our biases towards our different options. So when we can separate out our feelings and thoughts about the options and judgments as well, any judgments we have, we start to then really sit with what's true for us and what could actually be helpful for us. Because this is the really important point, and this is the one point I really want you to take from this podcast, if anything. This work and this decision that you make for yourself is not about doing the right thing. This is about you having a better quality of life, because you're at a point where your symptoms are impacting your quality of life, your work, your relationships, your mental health, your physical health. Okay. And so anything that can support you in the current and near future with your quality of life, I think is a really worthy option of having on your list. And then if you are worried about symptoms and things like that, that's something you can address. You can have a plan for those symptoms as well, because when you make decisions with this stuff, nothing is forever and you don't have to be scared. Like none of these things are forever. You can reverse things. You can get support. You can get advice. You can get guidance. You can trust yourself to make decisions. You can trust yourself to look after yourself if there are symptoms, and you can trust yourself that you can go back on decisions. And I know that there, you know, obviously when we do take hormones, it can impact, you can have symptoms for a while, even when we come off them, but that will all settle as well over time if you do decide that something isn't for you. And so another thing I want you to really like be aware of as well is in the wellness world, there can be a lot of pressure and then comparison as well with other people who are doing this, that, and the other. And, you know, people making these promises or selling what they did as a solution for you. And just be really careful with that, because we are all very different humans. We all have very different bodies. And not only that, but we all have different access to, you know, supports, and we have different access to financial resources. We all have different, you know, resources in terms of time and access to certain, you know, supports and our ability to engage in the wellness world. Like not everyone has really the capacity to embark on a very radical wellness and nutrition plan. And so it's really important that if you do go into that world, that you do it in a way that works for you and that's realistic in your life. Because when we take on something that works for someone else and then it doesn't work for us, again, we can then have these judgments on ourselves. We can be really critical of ourselves. We can, you know, think we're failing. Well, none of that is true. It's just this world doesn't really take into account different levels of privilege and access to supports and capacity. So that kind of brings me to the end of this episode, really. I think I've mentioned everything I've wanted to say. And again, just to be really careful with that, any kind of hypervigilance, self-judgment, self-blame, worry, fear, and go really gently with yourself. Like this, you know, this can be difficult, and this can be a difficult and scary decision to make, because there is no guarantee. You know, all my work is about supporting people in uncertainty and making decisions and building capacity and feeling good in the decisions that they make. That's really a lot of what I do. And, you know, there's no perfect answer. And this really is about your quality of life. So I really encourage you to think really all of your options. Take your time with it. Make a list. Talk it out with a support person. You can also do coaching with me. I have space at the moment, a little bit of space. I'm taking clients through applications, so you can head on over to the link in my show notes if you're interested in doing coaching with me. And just know that whatever decision you make, you can always tweak and change it. You can change the plan. You can have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C. You can get, you know, second opinions from different medical professionals. and just to stay in your agency, stay in your power, stay in your decision making, stay in your ownership, and stay clear on really what this is about, which is, you know, this is about your quality of life. So I hope that helps. And if you are interested in learning more about the nervous system, because I do work very deeply with that, you can go over to the episodes 43, 44, 45, 48, and 49. That is all about the nervous system, and that will help you to understand that all of this stuff is rooted in nervous system responses. And that when you feel connected to yourself, to your agency, to your power, to your decision-making ability, I think that that is going to be such a good place for your health, for your well-being. And if there are symptoms down the line, that's okay. You can trust yourself with that. You can get support. You can change your plan. And yeah, so just take it gently. Do keep me posted. I'd be curious to know how this podcast lands. If it's helpful, you can DM me over on Instagram or send me email, lisa@lisadeyoungcoaching.com. And as I said, I have some space for, I have a waiting list, in fact, for my one-to-one coaching. So you can apply for that via the application form on my website. And if you're interested in doing professional training with me as well, that is coming up in October, so you can put your name on the waiting list. So lots of love for the week, and I will talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.